Amen. Give him a round of applause, church. Praise him. Thank him. Amen. Give him glory. That is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, welcome, Liberty, to our Sunday morning worship. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are so excited to be here today. We pray that you are not only happy this morning, but that you're fat and happy after Thanksgiving, and that you have come with an attitude of worship today. And so that's why we are here. We're thankful for those that lead us in worship, sing and play, our musicians, our vocalists. What a blessing it is. As they were singing, I was thinking, you know, we are super blessed to have the talent we have in this church. God's been good to us, and I don't think you'll find worship like that anywhere else today. But if you will this morning, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. I believe that's the passage in the sermon you text me this morning, wasn't it, Elise? Elise writes my sermons for me, so that's where we're going to go today. I'm trying to memorize it really quick. Luke 17, verse 11. We have been here before to this text. Not seems like in my mind not long ago, but as I thought and prayed about what happens after Thanksgiving, because last Sunday the service was so wonderful, and I know you were blessed, and many of you obeyed, and God blessed that in return. I don't know if you left here. Now, let me remind you, if you were here, don't forget that as soon as you leave church, or even during church, go ahead and post or repost this service on your social media. That way you're still reaching your friends, your family. So just because we're on campus and in the building, don't forget to be posting that and reposting that. So I don't know if you went back and watched it, but as you were standing up and testifying and you were giving God praises for the things he's done in your life or who he is in your life, there were people who were giving God praises online on our Facebook Live. And so your boldness and faith to stand and give God credit and give God glory and honor in your own life, it caused others, it inspired many others online to do the same. And so go back and look at that service, go down and read those praises and the folks that were chiming in and watching. And I want you to notice how a service like that gets shared over and over and over and over when we praise him. In fact, I always have my phone on me, but I don't have it on during service. But I've got a friend who faithfully watches our services down in eastern North Carolina, and if we're having church, and he's not on a fire call because he's a battalion chief with the fire department down there, he's watching. He and his family's watching. Well, before I had even left the church building, he had texted me last Sunday, and he said I knew that it was going to be a good service. And when I started watching, he said, I knew you weren't going to even preach. That I knew as the girl started singing that something great was about to happen. He said, I could feel it. And then he said, I was so moved by the Lord that he said, had I known you would have answered your phone, he said, I would have called because I felt led to say something. Now, friend, that is the number one, the blessing of technology and Facebook, but it's also the power of praise in the life of believers. It'll turn the world, the power of praise, not just here in church, in this sanctuary, but the power of praise reaches further than just this sanctuary. And as you live a life of thanksgiving. So I want you to think on this thought as you have turned to Luke 17. If you will, stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I want you to think on this thought. No end to thanksgiving. Because my question this week has been, all week long we've been thankful. It started Sunday in our heart here in this church, and we've been thankful all week long, and now Thanksgiving's over. I mean, all that planning, that preparing, that cooking, and many of you women are like, thank you, Jesus, that it is over. The dishes are put up clean, the house is back in order, and all the extra tables and chairs are stored away. My house is looking somewhat normal. But what happens after Thanksgiving? Where do we go, and what do we do? Because here's the reality, I may have mentioned this last Sunday, but I think in general, the world that we live in is an ungrateful and unthankful world. I'm not speaking about all of you, and I'm not speaking about everyone, but just in general, the world we live in. And a prime example of that is this entitlement generation. They should stop wanting more and begging for more and wanting somebody to give them handouts, and they should be thankful for what God has done in their life, for giving them life and the things He has given them along the way. But many are so unthankful. I've always cut against the grain of the flow of how everybody operate. Even in high school, like, I didn't go with the flow. Like, I wanted to go opposite of the flow. And God saved me, called me to ministry, and that's the way I've been in my life. And, well, I don't want to be like the world and be thankless. But I want to be different and be thankful. And I want our church to be different. I don't want us to come in here and focus on the color of the carpet or the way the ceiling fans may turn or what the chandeliers look like. But listen, let's just come in here and let's be a church that is ever thankful. I heard a story about a dog that is a butcher shop. And one morning the butcher looked up and a dog carrying a purse coming to the butcher shop. And he thought, this is really interesting. And he said the dog sat down in front of his counter and set the purse down. And the butcher said, well, it's interesting seeing you here. Are you here to order? And the dog barked back at him and said, woof. And he said, what would you like to order? Do you want salami, beef, a steak? And he said, woof, woof. He said, okay, beef it is. He said, well, how much do you want? Do you want a half a pound or do you want a pound? And the dog said, woof. And so he said, okay, a half a pound it is. And so he wrapped it up and he went over and retrieved money out of the purse and stuck the meat in the purse. And the dog picked it up and took off out of the store. And so the butcher said, I got to see this. And so he began to follow the dog. And the dog went around the corner and he went up steps to the third floor of an apartment building. And as he was peeping around the corner of the steps watching the dog started scratching at a door. And that door opened up and the man that opened up, he began screaming and cursing at the dog. And the butcher stepped around the corner and he said, hey. He said, stop screaming at that dog. He said, that's the smartest dog and most intelligent dog I've ever seen. And the man said, no, he's not. That's the third time this week he's forgot his key. Now you got to keep up here. You usually laugh right after the joke. You don't let there be a delay. The turkey's still working on some of you. So open your eyeballs up and look in Luke 17, if you will. Luke 17. So we don't want to be ungrateful or unthankful. That man was not thankful. If I had a dog to go to Walmart for me, I'd be thankful. I'm just telling you. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when they saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And so I want you to be seated and may God add the blessings to the reading of His Word. And we just want to look at a few things here. I began thinking about this attitude of thanksgiving. And I want you to understand that when it comes to thanksgiving and when it comes to praises as a individual and as a church, I want to tell you how to grow a church. You want to grow a church, you just be a thankful people. And you be a people who determines to praise the Lord. If we turn this place, number one, of course, as Jesus said, into a house of prayer. But then after we pray, if we come together and we are a people of praise, people will be attracted and drawn to our Savior because of what we speak of Him. But I want you to notice really just four things this morning. I want to say this. I want to say that number one, that we need to be thankful despite our circumstances. We need to be thankful despite our circumstances. Now, you need to listen because here's what I know, but I don't know, is that we have enough people here this morning that your circumstances are not ideal. Your circumstances right now are not favorable for you. I know a family right now that's going through some deep, deep struggles with some physical infirmities, and yet there are praises on their lips. And so, number one, be thankful despite your circumstances. So I know there's somebody here who will. You went to bed last night kind of walking through a valley, and this morning you've got up and you're still in that same valley. And maybe it has been a bad doctor's report this week, and you're waiting on test results, or maybe you're going for tests this week. And so you're here this morning, and well, everything is not well. You're just kind of here. You're holding on. But listen, number one, be thankful despite your circumstances. Now, I know I described this when I spoke of these lepers, but let's go back. I think sometimes this particular story, we read it too fast, and we focus on where are the nine, because only one returned to give God thanks, where there were 10 that were healed. But let's just for a minute put yourself in their shoes. Because when we go to the ready clinic, or we go to the urgent care, or we go to the doctor, we're often not surrounded by lepers in this day in which we live. We drive through downtown Carnesville, and there are no lepers hanging out together, begging as they would do. So we've got to go back and put ourselves in this cultural and in this historical environment. And so here are these lepers. In this case, there's 10. They're hanging out together. Why? Well, remember the disease of leprosy. Remember, it affects the body. It affects the nerves. And so to begin with, the lepers, as they get leprosy, their skin begins turning white. And then they begin to lose sensation in the extremities of their bodies, their nose, their ears, their fingers, their feet. And then through the process of that, they will have injuries to their feet or toes or fingers, whatever the case may be. And they will begin to lose those toes, those fingers, even a leg or an arm. They'll lose their nose, because as they sleep at night, a rat will come in and gnaw on their nose and ears, and they don't even know that's taking place. And so remember that as soon as you're diagnosed with leprosy, you are isolated from society. Now, some of you have been quarantined, and you have minded the quarantine rules. Some of you have had COVID, and you've minded keeping yourself isolated. You minded that, and that's a pretty tough process, and it's pretty difficult. But keep in mind, these lepers, as soon as they're diagnosed, they have to be they are shunned away from their family. They're shunned away from society. They are left by themselves and alone. There's no time to kiss the baby goodbye. The leper would not kiss his wife because he has fear that she will get this dreaded disease. This is the dreaded disease of the day. So whatever the dreaded disease is of our day, in your mind, put that together. And so this leper then, not only is he physically suffering, he has no hand. One of them has no leg. He has a bandage wrapped around right where the below the knee, where the leg used to be, from the knee down. Some of them, they have no ear. They are heinous looking, many of them. I know of a preacher who visited a leper colony, and he talked about how some of them looked like monsters because they were so disfigured. So imagine that happening to you. And then you are isolated, and you are put off to be by yourself, and the only people you can keep company with is people of the same disease as you. And you have to resort to begging on the street corner. Now, I know that there's some of these street corner beggars today that are setups and shams. I know that. We had one in Asheville that was driving a BMW, and they kind of got on to him and reported it on the news. They started following this guy around, standing on the corner holding a sign, and usually within 200 or 300 yards away in a parking lot, there was his Beamer. And he would get finished begging and go get in his BMW, brand spanking new, and drive off. But listen, some of these folks have deep need, and it's true. And they're depending on that street corner begging to get them through the night. They're not buying alcohol, they're buying food. But imagine you have to resort to begging because you can't keep a job. Imagine you're on the corner right here where 85 comes into Livonia, one of the exits, and you're standing there this morning at daylight with a sign asking for somebody to feed you. Or you're standing there looking for a coat because it's cold, and cold weather's coming this week. And so these folks had to resort to begging. They could not keep a job. They could not have a job. And the only people they could be around. So get it in your mind what this little group of beggars look like. Disfigured, crippled, outcast of society. So let's slow the story down some more. So they see Jesus coming. And they notice that. And they've heard of Jesus, and they know that Jesus can heal. And the Bible says that these lepers were a long way off, and that they lifted up their voices and they cried out and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he saw them and he said, go show yourself to the priest. Now watch this. Now, you got to understand what's happening here. So the priest in that day, they didn't just lead religious services, but they were also health officials of sort. They did health inspections. And so if you get healed of leprosy, there was a book of rules of how that priest acting as a health inspector is to inspect you and check you out and make sure you're clean. And then they have to go through this ceremonial cleansing and so forth. So there's a process if you have been healed. And that's why Jesus said, go to the priest and show yourself and let him see that you have been healed. Now, I need to also tell you, just as a side note, if you're keeping notes, that there had been no healing of leprosy in the Bible apart from miraculous healing. And that had been limited. There was Miriam, Moses' sister. There was Nahum in the Old Testament. And then Jesus, he healed lepers like it was a common cold. So it's a rare thing. But now watch this. That's all side notes and stuff. That's all just commentary for you to know what the Bible is teaching, what the Bible says. And so they beg for mercy from Jesus because they know he can heal and he's healer. And Jesus says, well, just go your way. Show yourself to the priest. Well, you don't go show yourself to the priest unless you've been healed. There's no need to go. And so now watch this. And what we're talking about, stay focused here, we're talking about thanking him despite your circumstances. And some of you already, if I give an invitation right now, you need to come because you're in unfavorable circumstances as these lepers were. And you need to praise him. But watch. So Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Remember, you only go if you've been healed. Well, they're still standing there. And so, thank you, Elise. And so they are still standing there. And so Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And they're thinking, wait a minute, you only go show yourself to the priest if you've been healed. And one of them can look down and he can see his nose is still not there. And one of them looks down and he has no hand, but there's a stump at the end of his forearm. One of them's looking down and he's got a rag wrapped around right below his kneecap where he has lost his leg. One of them reaches up and begins to feel his ear, and his ear is still gone. And he feels his face, and his face is all disfigured, and he knows that he's still this heinous sight. And so Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And they're thinking, wait a minute. I only go if I've been healed, and I've not been healed. Everything is still the same. Nothing's different. But notice what they did. The Bible says, and it came to pass as they went. As they went. And so here's what they did. They began living by faith. And by their action, they thanked him and praised him. Now, I know that we're going to finish the story. They didn't come back. Only one did. But by their action, they acknowledged by faith that, Lord, you've done something in my life. And so even though my circumstances are not favorable, even though I don't see it, I still don't have a hand. I still don't have a leg. I still don't have an ear. I'm still disfigured. By all accounts, I still have leprosy. Nothing's better. But I'm going to go anyway because you said to go. And so for you this morning, in unfavorable circumstances, maybe you've lost your job or facing the loss of a job. Maybe it's family trouble. Maybe there's trouble with a child. Maybe there's something with your home. Listen, maybe it's physical with you. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's emotional, something on the inside of you. Things are just not favorable right now, whatever it may be, big or small. And what you need to know is this, is Jesus says, go. And by faith, you need to know that with thanksgiving comes blessings. And you need to praise him despite your circumstances. And so as we look at the text and we begin to work our way through this, now I want you to notice as well, I believe in miracles, and I want to say again, I'm not off on this wealth and health side of stuff and this non-biblical, maybe a charismatic side of healing, but I do believe God heals today, and I don't believe I'm going to come around and hit you in the forehead, it's going to heal cancer out of your body. I don't believe that, but I believe by faith and prayer, that God will work miracles in your life. He may use a doctor to do that. He may use medicine to do that, or he may just miraculously do it by himself. I still believe we serve a God who can do that. So your average Baptist backs away and shies away from the belief of miracles, but I still believe in miracles, and we need to at Liberty as well, because we've seen many in our midst. But I want you to notice what happens. The Bible says that as they went, as they got up despite their circumstances, and as they went, that's when they were cleansed. They got their healing when they started moving by faith. And so here's the catch on that. Be thankful despite your circumstances. I want to tell you what it takes to praise Him despite your circumstances. It takes faith. That's what it takes. It takes something supernatural in your life, because the natural man cannot praise Him when you are in difficult circumstances. The natural man has no desire to praise Him in difficult circumstances. The natural man may even curse God or shake your fist at God or walk away from God when you are in difficult circumstances because you don't understand. But the spiritual man, given grace by a supernatural God, is moved by faith. And so it takes faith to say, Lord, it's not looking good on my end, but I'm going to praise You anyway. I'm going to thank You anyway. I'm going to adore You anyway. And as they did that, as they got up and went, and as they began walking by faith, the Bible said that's where they got their miracle. And some of you are waiting on a miracle. Some of you, you're waiting for a check to come in the mailbox. Some of you are waiting for a good doctor's report. Some of you are, you're just waiting on somebody to come to you and try to mend a relationship. But let me tell you how this works. How this works according to this text is why don't you go ahead and begin thanking Him now and see if He works that miracle in your life. In fact, thank Him whether a miracle's coming or not. Thank Him whether you're about to be graced with many blessings or not. Thank Him despite your circumstance. But here it is in the reading of the text. When you thank Him, He will come into your life with grace and with mercies untold. So these lepers, they got cleansed. So not only are we to thank Him even in difficult circumstances, but we've got to be thankful for God's work that's in our lives. So watch what happened in the text. So the Bible says these 10 go off, and they got their cleansing, even though they didn't see it. You may not see the good doctor's report yet. You may not see God putting things back together again. You may not see God lifting you up again, but praise Him anyway, because it's coming. And so 10 left, and the Bible says that one of the 10. Now here, this is such sadness. This should break our hearts, really. Is that one of 10, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and went to Jesus, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. There are some numbers in the Bible that I think are plain statistics. And this is one of those that are sad, that 10 got the healing from the most dreaded disease of the day. What did the other 9 do after the healing? Well, you know what happened? I think they began to worship the blessing more than the blessor. They began to worship the gift of healing. They began to worship the gift more than they began to worship the giver. And really, you and I, me and you, we're no different than those 9 many times. And see, that's what I've told you before. There is this law of disproportionate return. And it's found in the Bible, and it's found in this text. And what that law says is this, is that the more we are blessed, the less we are thankful. Because I tell you this, watch. The beggar on the street, he's far more thankful for a piece of bread than the rich man is for a steak at a table. Is that true? The beggar is more thankful for a piece of bread than the rich man is for a steak that says. It's the law of disproportionate return. And what it means is the more we're blessed, so oftentimes we get caught up in the way of the world and we begin to worship the gift more than the giver who's made the blessing possible. And we do it. Really. We want to be like the 1, but we're more like the 9 so many times in life. But watch this one, what he did. And he is an inspiration for all of us. The Bible says when he realized he had been healed, I mean, he had been made whole, he had been made well, he had been made complete inside and out, that he couldn't keep it in, that he couldn't hold it back, that he got a case of the can't help it, and he didn't really care because he couldn't help it. Like you couldn't have shut him up. You couldn't have set him down. You could not have made him be quiet. But he had to do what he was going to do, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. I've got tickled at times with people, church people. They're kind of funny. See them in Walmart, and we'll talk about fishing, hunting, the weather, the election, you know, whatever the case may be. And they're all about it, usually with a loud voice. And then I'll say something about the church or the Lord, and all of a sudden they shift into this low whisper and start looking around like somebody's going to hear this conversation about Jesus or the Lord. But this leper wasn't that way. He lost all pride. He lost all shame. He really did not care what anyone thought of him. But he did what he was moved to do. He realized that he had been blessed, healed, received a miracle in his life, and with a loud voice, he couldn't help it. He had to do it. And he gave glory to God. So I want to ask you this. God saved your wretched soul from hell. There is a place called hell. Without Jesus, every single one of us will wind up in that place of eternal doom. Without Jesus, we would be living today with no hope, no chance at all, and we would be simply just waiting for that day when we would die and hell would receive us. But he saved us. He didn't have to. He loves us. He didn't have to. He sent his son. He didn't have to, but he did. He saved our wretched soul. And then he's blessed us. I look all as I walk through the parking lot this morning, I looked at blessings. And as I stand here, I look around and I see blessings. We've been blessed. You've been blessed. Children, family, home, clothing, job. Has there been anything in the last day or two that you had to get down and beg and beg and beg God to do for you? You've had to beg God to set a table. You've had to beg God to give you clothes. You've had to beg God for this or for... No, God's just done it so graciously. And so let me ask you this. So why is it God's done all these things in our life? Every one of us here right now. And when we come to church, we are quiet as a church mouse. I remember one time I had this informant, and I would go visit him and his wife. They lived away from this. They kind of lived out by themselves. And so I went to visit them, lived in this little cabin, and I got off work, and I went over there, stopped by to visit for a little while, and the room I would walk into off the old front porch was just like a little living room, wood plank floors. It was old. And so the wife's sitting in a little, I think it was a recliner, a chair. The husband's beside me on this couch. There's no furniture, nothing like that, nothing on the walls. Very, very poor and it's very old. And then there was an old wood stove sitting over kind of by the door where he come in. And we're sitting there talking, and I noticed that they got focused on something. The wife and the husband did too. They kept telling their story, but they got focused. Now keep in mind, when you have a house mouse, you know how he operates. Man, he runs in the corners and behind things, and he's just shooting and darting, and he's trying to find a dark hide spot, hiding spot just to get away, not be seen. You know, he don't run across the open floor. He's like taking back alleys around your living room and house and stuff, just trying to get out of Dodge. I noticed they got focused on something, and I turned and looked, and I did not hear it coming, but there was a rat, not a mouse, not mice, but one of those brown rats. I guess probably you got them in chicken houses. If you got a barn, you've always had them, or hogs or chickens, stuff like that. And, you know, a big brown rat. And he was strolling through the middle of that living room. Like nobody's, like he owned the place. They never let up anything else. They never broke conversation. And I'm just sitting there trying to figure out what's going on. The rat walks right between us all and goes on to the bedroom. I reckon he's going to bed. Buffaloed me. Why is it when we come to God's house? Why is it in our daily lives when it comes to speaking of the Lord that we are quiet as a church mouse? Well, that's just my nature, preacher. I'm just a quiet kind of person. I'm very reserved. Listen to me just a minute. Some of you I've seen at ball games before. Huh? Some of you are foolish enough to, when you're home alone, you're screaming at the TV for a ball game. You're not even rooting for your child. on a basketball court or on the football field or the softball field. You're alone and you're still screaming. And then some of you parents, I'll never forget the day I saw the demon come out of my mom and dad when my sister started playing high school. I thought they were just quiet little good Americans. And my sister started playing high school softball, and I was so embarrassed. I went and sat on the visiting team's bleachers. I wouldn't even sit with them. They screamed and acted like a bunch of banshees, whatever that is. I hope it's not a bad word. So why is it when we come to God's house we're so quiet? And have you remembered what the Lord has done for you? Because we've got an example of one right here. We've got an example of one who could not contain himself, and he was busting. Man, listen to me. There ought not to be a day go by. If somebody comes to you particularly with troubles or problems, you ought to just talk to them about what the Lord's done in your life. You ought to say, you know what? I was in that situation one time, but let me tell you what the Lord did to me. He sustained me. He held me up. He blessed me. And that's why I am here today. Give him credit and give him praise. And when it comes to church, I'm not waiting on somebody else. See, what happens in church is we're waiting on the Spirit to move on us is what it is. We're waiting till we're prompted. We're waiting till somebody else praises. But I want you to understand that in the Word of God, the Spirit always moved upon His people after they began to praise Him. Do you get that? So you want the Lord to show up? You want the Lord to be here? You want to feel His presence? Then just go ahead and start praising Him, because if you praise Him, He will be here in all of His splendor, in all of His glory, and in all of His majesty. And so some of you right now, you need to examine your life. Say, you know what? I've been quiet as a church mouse. And I'm one of the most blessed people in this church. And so I'm going to stand and praise Him. I'm going to stand and give Him glory. I'm going to stand and thank Him. I want to be like the one. See, you're either going to be like the nine who's never going to come back because you've been blessed and blessed and blessed, and you're just living in the blessings and worshiping the blessings instead of the blessor. You can be like the nine, or you can be like the one that I'm going to go against the grain. I can't help it. And I want you to notice, Jesus said this, go show yourself to the priest. The Lord had given this man a command. And I don't know about, listen to me. When you get a command for Jesus, you do it. You don't go against it. And the Lord said, go show yourself to the priest. And this man was on his way, got healed, and he said, you know what? I know what the Lord said, but I can't help it. And he went back and he began to glorify God. But that's what the Lord wanted, is He wanted him to come back and glorify God. And so thank God for the work that He's doing in your life. And I've already covered number three in that, but that's that thanksgiving leads us to action. So I'm going to close with this, and I want you to notice something. Girls, you can come to the piano or whatever the case may be. Verse 19, the very last word. He come back and he praised the Lord. Now, I want you to notice, too, that Jesus said, where are the nine? Wait a minute. There's one here praising loudly, unashamed. But didn't I heal 10? So where's the nine at? Where did they go? So notice that this was a heartbreak in the life of Jesus. It was enough for Him to mention it. That He healed 10, but only one comes back, and He's thinking, but I healed 10. Where's the nine at? Because see, He wanted the nine to come back too. He wanted nine. Can you imagine if 10 humble lepers would have come back and fell at Jesus' feet and started praising Him and thanking Him, what kind of revival there would have been in that town, in that region? But the last part of the verse in the text says this. Jesus says, go your way, your faith has made thee whole. That word is well. That's what that word is. So through this text, we've seen a couple of medical words. Speaking of physical healing, this one here is not so much a medical word. But what it means is it's more deeper than that. It means I have touched and cured all that ails you. Physically, mentally, emotionally. It's interesting to me that there's so many believers who are walking around with mental and emotional troubles. When we've got a Savior who says, listen, I'll not only save you spiritually, make you my child spiritually, I'll not only heal you physically, but I can heal emotional and mental issues as well. See, that word whole, it covers it all. It covers it all. In fact, it's not so much a medical word, but it does refer to having delivered a baby that is healthy and well. Now, hang on, watch this. You're going to get this because I'm feeling it and I hope I can communicate it. Some of you have got these struggles in your life right now. Now, I'm thinking about labor pains for you women. It's a struggle. I know nothing about it, and I'm not going to stand up here and act like I do. But it's a struggle. It's painful. Sometimes it's drawn out. Sometimes you wonder if the baby's ever going to come. But watch this. This man praised Jesus and thanked him publicly, unashamed. And his baby got delivered. You know what I'm talking about, metaphorically. So you got a struggle in your life. You've been having labor pains. God's about to bless you, and he's about to cure you, and he's about to make you whole. But by faith, faith has made him. Oh, by faith, you need to praise because it's coming. It's coming. That baby's about to be delivered. It also means this. That word whole also means this. It can be used as a sailing term. An oceanic term for sailors, and it means this. It refers to sailors who have come through a long, dark storm but have safely made it through. Somebody else say amen right there. Yeah. And so you're here in unfavorable circumstances, but just know that faith is going to bring you safely through. Your wholeness, your healing, your wellness, really, according to this text, is hinged upon your praise. Because only one got the wellness and the wholeness that spoke of in 19. The other nine got the physical healing. They got life back. But they didn't get it all. They missed out. And I believe there are some of God's blessings that you can miss out on because they're conditional. This guy right here, the one, he got it all. So let me just ask you this, and I'll close. Don't you want to have everything that God's got stored and laid up in heaven for you? Do you only want part of it? Do you only want a little bit of it? Are you going to be content with just some, with just a little touch? Or do you want everything that heaven has to offer? I'll tell you how to tap into it. Get on your knees and bow your head and say, Lord, unashamed, I thank you, I praise you, I worship you, and live that lifestyle from this point on through the rest of your life. Stand with me, and if you need to come, come quickly now. Girls, you sing, you begin making your way from the back of the church, from all the way in the left side and all the way in the right side, you come.